949-8686. This is the Bill Henry Show.
Part 9 in our 12-part series, Highway Safety and You. Now, Bob, you were hearing what I said yesterday about people in the fast lane.
Yes, sir.
And what? And you had something you wanted to comment on.
Phil, I get into the fast lane, and I do 55. It's my way of making sure people are doing the speed limit. There's nothing wrong with helping the police and slowing people down.
Even though you're making people angry?
Well, like I said, I heard what you said yesterday about being angry at people in the fast lane who go slow, but there is another side, if I could tell a story.
You purposefully go slow, though, huh?
Well, there is another side, though.
All right. Now, you work as a grocery store manager, right?
Yes. I work as a grocery store manager at Fraser Foods in Buena Park. And for 8 hours a day, my job, Phil, I could sum it up in a few words. It's like cleaning out a cat litter box that never gets clean. I'm constantly cleaning up a mess. There's a customer that has a problem. There's an employee that has a problem. There's merchandise that isn't stocked right, or there's a spill. And I'm married to a woman who I love with all of my heart, but she's a handful too. I get home, she's demanding. Right now we're remodeling our home, and I'm stressing. So when I drive home at night, I've got an opportunity to unwind and relax and to enjoy myself.
All right, and so you do it by getting over into the fast lane and slowing down.
Well, first of all...
I tell you...
No, I gathered it made you angry. That's why I wanted to respond. See, first of all, making people slow down can't be a bad thing. And there's this thing, you might have heard about it, it's called speed kills. You heard about that?
Yes, I've heard about speed kills. I've heard with the Highway Patrol about speed kills.
Well, I say that to make this point. People don't know that I'm doing them a favor. When they pull into their driveway at night and they sit down for a meal, they don't know that it's me to thank for slowing it down in the fast lane, so they actually got home.
But you said to me, and you said to my audience, it's to help you unwind. You use this method of slowing down in traffic and making people angry to enjoy yourself.
It's to unwind, yeah.
But you're unwinding, you're relaxing. Do you put on music?
I turn on the radio, yeah. I like to put on Coast, which is one of the adult music stations. I get into the fast lane, I slow down. It's enjoyable for me. I'm not hurting anybody. It's my way.
Do you like making people angry?
I don't like making people angry. I have some fun. I have a little bit of fun.
You have fun slowing down in the fast lane.
I got to admit, I have fun with people. I drive slowly on the freeway. They get upset. They like to look at you. A lot of them try and tailgate. And when they do that, I slow down a little bit more. First instance, when they flash their brights, what I have is a piece of cloth that I drop down over the rearview mirror, and if they honk, I wave. It's just fun for me.
You know, you're making people angry when you do that, and driving slowly in the fast lane is an anger-producing... First of all, the fast lane is a passing lane. It's a lane that people ought to be allowed to just sail down, whether they're going fast or not. When you're over in the far left lane, going slowly, you're making people angry.
I know, that's what you said yesterday, but I realized that, it's fun to see them get mad, and they're not really going to do anything about it. I'm not breaking any laws. I'm just having fun.
You could make somebody angry enough to get violent, and we have had freeway shootings.
Well, what I do, if someone's tailgating me, and they're honking, and they get angry, and I know they're getting angry, I smile at them, and I wave it in the mirror, and sometimes I do a little zigzag in front of them, and I basically tell them to go around me on the right side, and sometimes if they go around on the right, I pretend like I'm, you know, changing lanes too.
To further piss them off.
Well, no, not to... I pretend like I'm changing lanes, but I get back. So, no, what I do is I smile, I wave at them.
Do you move over, sir?
No, I do not.
So what you're saying to me is you're telling them, hey, hi, how you doing? I'm going to stay in this lane, but you go around me on the right.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so what you're doing, and at the end of a workday, when everybody else may have had a bad day too, you're possibly making people very angry just so you can, as you say, relax. You sit in your car, you put on music, do you smoke?
I unfortunately, yes, I do.
So you light up a cigarette?
I have a cigarette, I put on some music, and I relax, and I just let out a big exhale of air, and I stay in the fast lane, I slow it down.
And how is this relaxing for you?
I guess you could say it's. I like to see people get upset. It's funny. I think it's funny the way people are. And it's fun for me. I get a laugh out of it. I get a chuckle out of it. It's not going to kill them. They're not going to get a bad disease. Their kids aren't going to die. They just have to go slower. And it's crazy to watch how crazy they get. And I look in the rearview mirror. I see a guy behind me. One guy, it was about 3 days ago, I was coming home, Phil, and he's doing the lights thing. And I don't know if you've ever seen people, they blink their lights on and off in the fast lane. And so what I did is I started a brake, and I was popping my brakes. And that he'd come up, and
you're German braking the guy?
No, it's not a German brake. German brake is a full stop where you're going to make the guy hit you. What I do is I just hit my, every time he hit the brights, I hit my brake lights. It's, I know you're saying that it makes people angry, but really it doesn't hurt them at all. I just blink my lights back when they do that.
All right, Robert, you're an interesting guy. You're the kind of guy that makes me angry in traffic. Robert Green here, he's a motorist who comes home from his job at night, and the way he relaxes is he gets into the fast lane and slows down and watches people get angry and watches people get bent out of shape. And
nobody has gotten so bent out of shape, Mr. Henry, that they've threatened me with violence.
No, I'm sure they haven't. They go around you?
They go around me.
But you have said it's relaxing and fun for you to piss people off.
You know something? You use the word piss people off.
It's relaxing for you.
Well, you use the phrase piss people off, but I think I'm helping them, and I don't really care if they get pissed off. I'm helping them.
You don't care if they get angry, and you're helping them by making them slow down.
That's right. I don't really care if they get mad.
What if they got so angry that somebody pulled a gun?
It wouldn't bother me because I'm pretty quick. I could maneuver through traffic pretty fast and get away from somebody like that. And anybody that did that, I'll tell you this much, he better shoot to kill, because if he doesn't, I'm going to be his worst nightmare. And I'm saying that very seriously.
Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Robert Green, motorist. He gets in the fast lane and goes pretty slow. And we do have the issue of a Robin Porter I'm going to get into here from Canoga Park.
No, I want to talk about it, but let me just say this. My job, Phil, I'm helping cops, I'm helping a lot of people. Being the manager of a grocery store...
You're going to tell me how tough your job is.
No, but being the manager of a grocery store is like running a daycare center. The customers are babies. The checkers aren't too bright. The bag boys are strictly from hunger. Someone's always got the frozen OJ out, and they're moving items around. So when I get off the job, I got a little bit of fun out on the freeway. I call it a little payback for the living hell that I've been put through. That's all I'm talking about. It's a little bit of payback for the hell that my job as a grocery store manager puts me through. So if I go slow in the fast lane, big deal.
All right, you know Robin Porter of Canoga Park?
I know, and that woman is crazy.
Well, she didn't think it was funny. She miscarried on the side of the freeway because you were playing your games. She didn't make it to a hospital.
All right, Mr. Andrew, I got to tell you right now, you need to govern yourself because my attorney is on this case, and I don't want to have to include you in a slander suit. I am suing her for slander. I was having some fun in the fast lane.
You were having some fun in the fast lane, and when that woman tried to get over to exit, you moved in front of her and wouldn't let her exit.
Well, maybe you can make a sign and sell them on your show, a sign that a woman could put up in her car and say, I'm pregnant, I'm trying to get to the hospital. Because, Mr. Henry, I don't read minds. You know, my name isn't Miss Cleo. My name is Bob Green. I manage a grocery store. I could have let her get over. My attorney is responding to hers, and I can say this, Ms. Porter, if you're listening, I would rather go to hell and live there as Satan's sexual slave than give you one nickel in this frivolous claim.
You admitted that you moved over and wouldn't let her get off the freeway.
I was having a couple of laughs, and if she was pregnant, she should have let me know.
How is she going to let you know? She's pregnant. She's racing to the hospital. First of all, she didn't even have her husband with her.
I don't know how she's going to let me know. But that's her responsibility. The onus is on her. I mean, she could have pointed to her stomach. She could have, whatever.
She lost a baby.
Don't put that on me. And again, watch how you talk, because I will sue. I'm suing everybody on this one. Anybody that even comes close to inferring that I caused the death of a child, I will sue them until they bleed. I'm suing everybody. I'm having a little bit of fun, and people want to call me a baby killer. That ain't going to go.
All right, sir, I'm not calling you that. I'm just quoting this.
Yeah, well, then watch it. And I don't mean to threaten you, sir, but I would ask you to be careful.
All right, I'm going to watch it. I'm not trying to call you baby killer. I realize it's still being litigated. This is the kind of guy, I was talking about this last night. Anyway, this man's name is Robert Green, and he relaxes after a long day at work by getting into the fast lane and slowing down so that he is basically causing people to slow down along with him. He's also being sued by Ms. Robin Porter. She claims that because he wouldn't let her off the freeway playing his games, she didn't make it to the hospital and she miscarried on the side of the road. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, Robert Green is with me. And Robert, you took exception to something I said yesterday on the show about fast lanes and how people who drive slow in the fast lane, I don't like them. And you say that you have a citizen's duty to slow people down.
I absolutely do, Phil. I think that's a big part of slowing down in the fast lane. I like the idea that I can control the speed of other people. I like that. I like the idea that people are not going to break the law when I'm driving in the fast lane. I like the idea that I can make them do what I want them to do, because I have a long day at work, and a lot of it. And I'll tell you, I try making driving alongside Bob Green at night a fun experience. I put tails coming out of my trunk, hula girls in the rear window, and bumper stickers. My favorite stunt is sitting in the passenger seat and steering so it looks like there's no driver, and I've done that. I do a lot of things because it helps me unwind. But the one thing I don't do is kill children. I don't kill any children.
I'm just saying the woman claimed she had a miscarriage because you wouldn't let her off the freeway to get to the hospital.
I don't kill. She had a miscarriage because she doesn't have a sense of humor and she was too dumb to put a sign up to tell me she was pregnant.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Donna on The Phil Henry Show with Robert Green.
I just wanted to see if he would realize that other people rush their children and family members to the hospital without an ambulance.
Well, then you can go in the other lane. Why do you got to come in my lane?
Why do you have to hold up the center lane or the passing lane when that's what it's for in the whole rest of the United States?
Well,
pays attention to that, except for you.
No, I'm not the only one that goes slow in the fast lane.
You're the only one rude enough not to move over and allow someone to go through. It might be an emergency. You never know.
Well, that's what a lot of people say, but I think...
Well, a lot of people might be right, you know?
Well, I think it's a load, because not everybody could have an emergency.
Not everybody, but there's always that one case, like someone having a miscarriage now, right?
All right, well, then I would suggest, and I've suggested this to Mr. Henry, if you could get a sign that says I'm taking...
Well, are they supposed to manufacture the sign while they're driving?
You could go to Home Depot.
How about Walmart?
You can go to Home Depot. You can get those metal letters, and you can make a sign. I'm taking
it. Right. And by that time, the baby's already dead because she had a miscarriage.
How's that?
Move your butt over.
I don't understand why. What do you mean the baby's already dead?
Well, let's see. The time it takes to stop and get some letters, who's going to plan ahead for a miscarriage or a baby with RSV that's lungs are shut down?
You can pick up one on your way to the hospital.
That makes a lot of sense.
Have you ever heard of a Sharpie and a notebook? Thank you.
Have you ever heard of one person driving?
Thank you. Have you? I'm sorry?
One person driving,
what Mr. Green, what are you suggesting?
I'm simply saying that you can't just blame me for maintaining the flow of traffic and going slow. We got people killing each other out there on the freeways, and somebody's going to bust my balls because I'm going slow? How does a sick kid make the sign? Or you say the kid's going to the hospital, right?
The kid usually is less than 2 years old that has RSV. And
I don't know what that. What's RSV?
It is respiratory syncytial virus.
Do you have a daughter or a child with that, Donna?
I do not, but I'm a neonatal nurse who's seen a lot of it.
Oh, and all of a sudden the kid can't breathe, or like an
right.
asthma or something?
Right.
It's like an asthma attack, Mr. Green.
It's much worse.
What about them pumps, the pump deal they have?
Wait a minute, why do we have to explain to you? Just move your car over. What do you mean make a sign and get a pump and get letters at the Home Depot and have the kids scrawl it on a notebook? Move your car over. Don't you think that the survival of a child is more important than you having your jollies?
You know something, Donna and Mr. Henry? You may think it's serious that your child has a disease, and it is. It's also serious that I work 8 hours a day in a hellhole.
Oh, my God. You know what? Turn your two-week notice in. Go to school and be something else that you don't like, if you don't like what you're doing. If you don't like your wife, get a divorce.
I like my job.
Well,
I like
it sounds
food.
Like you don't.
I like food. I don't like the people with their screaming and crying about this, that, and something else. Hey,
guess
you know
what? That's all over everywhere.
Well, let me ask you something, Don. I don't know what you do. Well, you're a nurse, right?
Yes, I am.
Every day I got this. Can you tell me where the... you know, graham cracker crumbs are. Why would I know where that is?
Well, because you're
manager
long enough to know.
Yeah, you're the manager of the store.
That's right. I worked in a grocery store. I can tell you where anything
was.
No,
what I'm saying is, ma'am, the stupidest questions. Do you have toilet bowl brushes? Do you have, you know where house... to me, I love to be done with the food, with the vegetables. I love to be oiling the cukes. I love to be putting out the corn.
So
why
your
don't
position
you
and step down to just the grocery manager? I mean,
well,
the
that's right.
Produce
why don't you,
manager.
Why don't you become the produce manager? Okay.
I got to take a cut and pay.
So in other words, so that we can make sure you have a great salary, we got to sit there and make signs to tell you to get over because you're. I don't believe this.
Well, you don't believe it, Mr. Henry, because you got the bully pulpit of a talk show, and you can say, "Hey, get out of the fast lane." Before I started my fun on the way home, I used to get home and push my wife around. I ended up in jail for domestic violence. I need this. I need this.
Hey, I got an idea. Get on some Paxil instead. It'll improve your whole life.
Oh, get you. You're a nurse and you know all those big names, huh?
I know enough to know that you're an idiot.
I'm an idiot?
Yes, sir.
You got to be an idiot. You're pushing your wife around, so you got convicted of domestic violence.
Yes, I did. I got 30 days.
30 days in jail. In jail for pushing a woman around. So now, because you don't want to go back to jail, you're going to go slow in the fast lane.
Oh, so I'm supposed to go back to jail and put up with that again, too?
No, you don't
have to. You need to see an analyst.
An analyst?
An analyst.
Maybe you should take some Allegra.
All right, pal.
Well?
Allegra? That is allergy medicine.
All right, I just thought I'd throw it out there. Well, you know all the big words.
Well, right. Maybe if you'd go to school and do something other than being a grocery store manager, you'd know some words, too.
Well, ma'am,
other than stopping in the middle, slowing down in the middle of the road.
At least I'm not calling up talk shows and throwing out the big words like Paxil.
Paxil's not a very big word. It's only five letters.
Yeah, Paxil is a very common drug.
Well, what about a neonatal nurse? Are you going to explain what that is? Were you going to do that anytime today?
Neonatal, that's self-explanatory. I take care of the little bitty tiny babies.
Little bitty tiny babies. Well, now, what do we got here? Giant with Rock Hudson? I am trying to get home to my wife in the safest way possible.
You know, you keep going back between safe and then having fun. And then safe and then having fun. Which is it? Are you safe or are you having fun?
Mr. Henry, I said I like the idea of slowing people down, okay? And also, it's fun.
It's, all right. Donna, thank you so much.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686.
Hey, I haven't shoved my wife's face up against the piano for 3 months ever since I started driving 48 to 55 miles an hour in a fast lane. And I think it bears repeating. My wife and I have a great relationship today. Based upon the fact that I can do this, I can put up with anything from that you-know-what. And I love her. And it's probably some of the best sex I've ever had. And I can put up with anything from her because I get to do this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green, who slows down in the fast lane on his way home because it's fun and because he likes to control traffic.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio.
Wow. 1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Robert Green is with me. He's a grocery store manager from Buena Park who is involved in a lawsuit. And I'm not going to get into the particulars, Mr. Green. You are being accused of causing a miscarriage by a woman on the side of the freeway. What freeway was this?
I'm not going to comment on this case, Mr. Hendry. If you want news, you can get it off of the news.
All right, well, I can find out. It was the 405, Janice? Thank you. It was on the 405 freeway in Garden Grove. Now, you fax to me. You say that slowing down in the fast lane makes you relax.
I've said that several times. Yes, sir.
All right, and you fax to me ways that you relax on your way home and ways that you say, quote, I give people a laugh and help them relax, too. You write down...
Now, these are things that I faxed over to your producer because she asked me for examples. Just so you understand.
I understand that. You turn your lights off while you're in the fast lane until somebody gets up close to you, then you turn them on all at once.
That's correct.
You have mounted on the roof of your car high-beam utility halogen lights that you turn on the high beam when someone goes by you in the right-hand lane.
Yeah, that's... You're saying this like this is bad...
No, I just want to know. You hang out of the driver's side window as if you've been shot... So there's nobody basically controlling your car for a few feet.
I do it for a couple of seconds.
You put a mask on, a rubber Halloween mask on backwards, so it looks like somebody's got their heads turned around.
That's correct. On Halloween, I did that.
And the one that I think is the most juvenile of all, you push a mannequin's head... you push a mannequin's head up and down in your lap as if you're being...
Having sex, yeah.
This is everything that you do when you're driving home to give people a laugh.
Yes, sir, and keep in mind, if it doesn't give you a laugh, it doesn't mean it isn't funny. So you're not the arbiter of everything that's funny.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Bruce. Go ahead.
I just wanted to know if this guy was really a joker or if this was for real, because of what I personally think is they ought to take his license away from him and never let him near another vehicle again as long as he lives.
Have you been cited, Mr. Green?
No, sir, I've not.
You've never been cited by the police?
Well, I was cited for the incident involving Ms. Porter. They cited me for illegal lane change. They didn't cite me for her kid coming out bad the way it did.
Her kid coming out bad. Well, her it was a miscarriage.
Yeah, I understand that. Is that all this guy wants to say?
Don't worry, I can be the host of the show. Bruce, are you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you have another comment?
Because if that's all he's got to say, I can take another call.
I'm saying the man is sick, and I hope to someday that I can find him side of the road. I'm a professional driver, and maybe with a little luck, we can run him off into the ditch and never have to worry about him again.
Or is there a guy that doesn't like to have a couple of laughs?
No, I have my laughs. I enjoy my life. I'm a professional driver, and I don't want to put up with idiots like you in the road. You shouldn't be driving. You're a hazard. They should put you back in jail and let you stay there.
All I do is slow down so that you guys don't go too fast in the fast lane.
Well, as we find out, that's not all you do. You hang out the window. You put on backwards masks. You got mannequin heads going up and down. You turn your lights off. What if somebody were to hit you?
I made my comment. The man is sick. He shouldn't have his license.
Bruce, you're a professional driver.
The only reason you haven't got caught is because the police can't see you down in your vehicle doing stuff like that. I can see the stuff from the...
You say that you're a professional driver.
I'm a professional driver.
Okay, how fast can you deliver that pizza?
I'm a truck driver, and I drive the speed limit. My truck drives the speed limit, okay? I stay with traffic.
Okay, so do I.
I know you don't. You get out there in the middle of the lane, out in the fast lane, and slow everybody down. It's a hazard.
You said
you're
causing a problem. 48 miles an hour.
48. It's a 65-mile-an-hour zone out there. What are you doing 48 miles an hour?
They tell you you're allowed within 20 miles.
You shouldn't be out there.
If it says 65, you're allowed to go 45 in the fast lane.
That's baloney, and you know it.
That's baloney. There's a law against going too slow, and it's a wonder you haven't got a citation. I know states that would pull you over and give you a citation.
Look, Bruce, if you were behind me, I would have some fun with you. I'd weave around, and then if you tried to get around me, I'd move my car in front, just stuff like that.
Okay, I understand. I hope that someday you get into a bunch of truck drivers that decide that they don't want to have you on the road anymore, because we communicate back and forth, and one of these days you'll find out just how well they do communicate, and they'll put you in the ditch.
Wait a second. What are you trying to pull anyway? Are you calling me?
To, No, hey, where do you live? I'll come find you.
Well, wait a minute. I'm just trying to have a couple of laughs here. You want to come and beat me up?
Yes, he does. I would,
yes,
too.
Yes, I would. I would beat you up, and I'd know half the industry out here would love to just run you over and put you in a pothole and leave you there forever. That's where you belong.
All I'd do if you drove by me in your truck is I'd weave a little bit, you know, just see how well control of the truck you've got.
Well, put it this way. What is your car weigh? 4,000 pounds?
My favorite thing to do with guys who drive 18 wheels is to pass them and then pretend I see a kitty in the road and hit the brakes.
Good luck.
Good
luck. Goodbye.
See ya. Let's go over here now to 1-800-449-8686. Jimmy, go ahead. Jimmy, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Robert Green.
Yes, sir.
Buddy, you have all the makings and all of the intentions and your so-called sense of humor of a serial killer.
I haven't.
You have all the profile of a serial killer, and you've been convicted of beating up your wife.
Well, wait a second. I would ask you to be careful because I if you slander me, I'm already.
Let me say this right now, buddy. I'll give you my name, number, address, whatever you want. If you want to try to sue me, by all means, please try and sue me. You are an idiot. You deserve to have your license taken away. And, yes, you are a baby killer. Just like so many people want to tell
you're
you,
calling me a baby
and so many people want to say,
man,
you are a baby killer.
All right, so
plain and simple.
I could sue you for slander. But you know what?
I don't care if you want to sue me for slander.
You
by all means, try.
By all means, try.
Buddy, you deserve to have every bit of your privileges, road privileges, driving privileges taken away.
I want to be very clear.
Forever.
You're calling me a baby killer.
Yes, I am calling you a baby killer.
You're
if
saying
you want
that
to try to sue me, by all means, please try and sue me, buddy.
You're
going to find out after everything that you just said on this show and everything that's been documented, when you go to court, you're going to look like a total idiot.
You're saying that I killed a baby.
Yes.
I'm saying yes, that you killed a baby by your little joking around and by your little stupid-ass comments that you said on this radio show. You get your jollies off on other people's misery.
What I'm trying to determine, though, I want you to spit it out. What are you saying?
I'm sorry. I wasn't clear enough. You're an idiot. That's what I'm saying.
No,
you have all the makings of a serial killer. You have all the intentions of a serial killer.
You're saying, though, that I was responsible for what?
A baby dying. Didn't you hear the man?
You know what? This is the last time.
Wait a minute.
Whatever you're using.
Okay.
Whatever,
hold on. Let me turn it on.
You are a baby killer. I hope you got it that time because I'm not going to repeat it.
Well, sir.
You're an idiot. You deserve to have your license taken away. And it's people like you that ends up getting shot every day, buddy. And let me tell you something. It's coming. It's coming very soon. After all the comments you just made on the radio and everybody that's heard it, it's coming very soon. Your day is
coming very soon. I could either drive slowly on the freeway or bludgeon my wife with a crock pot. Now, what do you want? Which one?
I want you to go and see a therapist, get some counseling, do whatever you have to do to get all these intentions out of your head.
Sir, you need
to be on some heavy medication,
sir,
man.
I'm having a
There's something
of
wrong with you. Stop. There is something seriously wrong with you.
You know, it wouldn't be so bad if nobody got hurt. That woman's miscarriage on the side of the road, that was...
Okay, there you go. See, now you guys, you want a slander lawsuit, don't you? This guy wants one.
I want you to try to make yourself look like an idiot.
All right, say it again.
I do.
Say it
I
again.
I want you to try and sue me to make yourself look like a total idiot in front of the court, in front of your wife, in front of all your friends.
Exactly.
I doubt you have any friends.
Exactly.
All right. I guess he's not going to want me to say this.
What?
The record button stuck. Could you say it again?
Say what again?
The record button stuck on my tape recorder.
Buddy, you are the biggest idiot I have ever seen in my life.
What do you want him to say
again? You want to say that you're recording this and your record button stuck and all this. You need some serious medication, some serious therapy. Something is definitely,
hey,
there's a screw.
You're calling
definitely
me
loose.
A serial killer. I don't pee in my bed. I didn't set fire to Pappy's barn, and I don't stick pencils in Fluffy's ass. Now, that's
no, you just beat up your wife and kill babies on the highway.
Right.
That's what you do.
Ooh, you did it again. You called me a baby killer. You did it again. All right, what's your last name?
Don't do it, Jimmy. Don't even do it.
You aren't worth the time of day, buddy.
Don't give him your last name. Don't do it.
All right, Mr. Henry, I'll put you in the suit then.
Go ahead. You can sue me. I'm indemnified. Don't give him anything, Jimmy. I'll take the lawsuit.
Don't
don't give me anything, Jimmy. I'll take the lawsuit.
There's no
real
lawsuit.
Big man, aren't you?
This guy, he's sitting there threatening everybody, and he knows damn well that if he tries to carry this to court, then he'll be laughed at. He'll be completely laughed at. He has said on the radio all these things that he gets off on and everything, and no court in the world would convict somebody for calling this man a baby killer.
How did I kill somebody by hanging out the driver's side window and pretending I was shot?
You know, you could kill somebody. If you ever lost control of that car with you hanging out the driver's side window pretending you're shot, somebody, that car, all it has to do is hit a bump in the road, man.
That
get a lot of you guys.
Illegal.
What do you guys think this
you
is?
You talk about you don't break any laws. What you just said is illegal.
What? Did I hang out the window?
That's called reckless driving, you idiot.
Look, you and I both know you truckers pop a rack of bennies to keep yourselves awake at night. What kind of car do you drive?
Look, I am not a trucker. I am a private citizen. I drive a pickup truck. I'm curious, too. Please answer this question for me. I'm
sure.
Just curious.
Sure.
How old are you?
I just turned 37.
37-year-old man.
37 years old. You have all the makings of a serial killer.
What kind of car do you drive?
I got a silver Porsche Boxster.
A Porsche Boxster? Jesus, buddy. That's a valuable car. You're driving down the road hanging out the window. You got tails coming out of the trunk. You got hula girls on mud flaps. You got a mask on backwards, and you got a mannequin going up and down in the seat. And you're driving the thing from the passenger side to make it look like there's no guy driving it. All for a couple of giggles because you hate your job in a grocery store.
You got it there. You just laid the whole thing out. Thank you. Saves me a lot of breath.
Quit your gig,
other
man.
Question, Robert, please. Please answer this other question.
Jimmy, you see me drive
honestly.
Down the street with a
blow-up doll. Do you have any kids?
I can guarantee you this. If you see me drive down the street with a blow-up doll's legs wrapped around my neck, you'll laugh. Won't you?
Oh, I would laugh.
There you go.
You think
right.
I would laugh at something like that?
Sure you would.
Buddy, I think you're sick. You are completely sick.
All right.
And you need medication.
Can you recommend a doctor?
All right, Jimmy, forget it. The guy's messing with you.
Look, you're not worth it. I hope
Axel was the last
funeral sometime soon.
Right,
goodbye.
Thanks very much.
The guy's not even a trucker.
So?
Sounded like one.
All right, I don't know if we want to keep going with phone calls.
Why not?
Oh, you're having a good time, are you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you like just screwing with people? Is that what you're doing? You screw with them on the highways, mess with them on the freeway, screw with them on my radio show? The only place you don't screw with them is in your grocery store, do you? Because you get fired there.
Look, I'm entitled to have a couple of...
Why don't you mess with them in your grocery store? When I walk up to you and I say, where are the graham cracker crumbs? You can point me in the direction of the tampons. How about that?
I've done that.
I'll bet you have done that. Glenn, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
You know, I had a couple of comments as I was sitting here waiting. This guy, I can't even believe he has the audacity to get on the telephone here like this. Now, obviously, he's missed his calling. He should either become a cop or a comedian.
Wait a minute. Why can't I?
What's he doing in the grocery store?
Wait, let me ask something. How come I can't slow people down? They're not supposed to be speeding anyway.
Okay, that's what I said. You should have became a cop, not a grocery store manager.
I don't want to be a cop. I just want to make... I want to do...
You obviously you want to be a cop.
I want to do my...
You want to... You want to...
I want to
you
do
not
my part
want to
a good citizen.
Obey the law? Is that what you're not saying here?
As a good citizen and just slow people down. Let me tell you. What's your name? Glenn, right?
My name's Mad Dog, a.k.a. Mad Dog.
Oh, what's that supposed to mean?
Up here in Canada.
What's that supposed to mean? What, are you going to come gunning for me up there in Canada?
No, I don't gun for nobody. I just go to work and live life and enjoy my family.
Enjoy your family?
And I don't beat my wife.
Tell me
so the other guy, if the other guy called you a bait, you know, going
to
let me speak or what?
Well, I
you
just
had
want
your
you
talk
know,
here.
Hey, cop uniforms make me look fat, all right?
Well, you know what?
Jesus.
The other guy called you a baby killer. Maybe he's wrong, but you know what? You're a woman beater. You're a woman beater.
Okay,
obviously,
that's slander.
No, it
if
is not slander. You got
beating your old lady.
Yeah, you got arrested for that.
If you get convicted for beating your wife,
that's none of your business.
Yes
it's,
or no?
It's a matter of public
you
record.
You already
the answer
said
is
it.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, look.
That's right. So that's
I'll
slander,
give you the same choice. I'll give you the same choice you gave the other guy. Do I get to slow down in traffic, or do I go home and put my wife through a window?
That's what the other guy told you. Maybe you need to get some therapy.
I don't need any therapy. I just want to have some fun in traffic.
What a special white... Oh, your wife, man, I'll tell you. She's a special lady.
She's a special lady to put up with you.
Glenn,
you wouldn't laugh if you saw me driving down the road with a blow-up doll's legs wrapped around my face.
As a matter of fact, you know what? I love to laugh.
Okay.
I really love to laugh.
Ain't that a...
But you're telling me you're slowing people down for safety reasons.
Right.
And you're sitting in the passenger seat of your car... And you're talking about safety? You couldn't spell safety. That's why you're a grocery store manager.
Oh, so you got something wrong with those guys. If it wasn't for me, you guys would start.
I have nothing wrong with nobody. You're the guy with the problem with everybody.
I got
That's
no
why
problem.
You slow everybody down.
Yeah, well, if you want to have a couple of giggles, go to your job, and when they go to the cucumbers, you can say, hey, it looks like you can get friendly with something like that, okay?
And I'd get fired.
And you'd get fired. Out on the road, though, when I don't have to deal with you, I gotta sit behind you with a blow-up doll's legs wrapped around your face.
It's funny.
It ain't funny to me, man, when I'm trying to get home. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
What's that supposed to mean?
I like the way you sound so professional and stuff. Thank you very much, Glenn.
You're a baby killer.
All right, I'm suing.
Go ahead, sue me. And also, I hope the next time you pull a stunt like that, that you lose control of your car, it goes through three medians and bursts into flames far away from anybody else that may be on the road.
And you find that funny?
Yeah, as I was saying it, I was very amused by it. I hope your car sails over two medians, clears all the traffic, lands in a huge empty lot, and bursts into flames like something out of The Fall Guy.
I'll have my attorney get in touch with you first thing in the morning.
That's terrific. What's that?
Well, I did want to say that attempt at that cucumber joke. Why don't you try again, Carrot Top?
1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the one and only Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right. By the way, the voice there performed by, what's his name, Bob Green? That was me doing the voice of our guest, Bob Green. He doesn't exist. He never did. But in my mind, he does. And in my heart, he does. And in your minds and hearts, he will forever. He's our grocer, our green grocer, who likes to go out there on the freeway and act like an utter jackass. And if I ever run into him, then I'll know I'm nuts. Because he don't exist. But the people who called in thought he did. And that's all that counts. We make dreams come true. We make fantasies come alive on this radio show, man. You think anybody appreciates that? Do you think anybody knows the genius of this program? You bet they do. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This could only be the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Well, let's get Uncle Sam's back, Phil. Started as something that grew out of our neighborhood watch program. We wanted to do something for our country.
You guys have a neighborhood watch up in Mill Valley, where you live in Northern California, right?
Yeah, we're about 30 homes, and we keep an eye on each other. But we remember hearing President Bush say. That the number one soldier in the war on terror is the American citizen, and keeping his eyes and ears open was important. And we wanted to make that fun, and we wanted to tie that in with our neighborhood watch, because what the president is saying is just watch for anything suspicious. But we also realized that we needed a plan. How do we do that? And we got together and we kicked it around, a group of us fathers and some of the women in the neighborhood who are mothers, and we care about our neighborhood, and we said, why don't we start by just simply writing down two or three things a week that we see a neighbor do that might be suspicious.
What would that be?
Well, it could be anything. If your neighbors, for instance, don't have babies, why is she buying diapers? You can notice so much, Phil, by just watching what kind of groceries they take out of the back of their car, if they're doing anything out of the ordinary. I have a neighbor of mine who is suddenly leaving his house at 5 a.m. and he's coming back at 7 a.m. That's suspicious to leave at that early in the morning and return that early in the morning. So what we wanted to do is really back up the president in being the eyes and the ears of the country, and at the same time help Homeland Security, and that's what getting Uncle Sam's back is all about. So
it's a matter of just writing down unusual things that you see your neighbors doing?
Yeah. If, for instance, I'll give an example of a woman who is leaving the house every day at 11 o'clock and returning at 11:30, and then she's leaving again, and you don't know what that is. It could be something innocent. It might not be. Now, this is something that my wife noticed, and during the day, housewives can notice these things, watching their neighbors. You can find out an awful lot, Phil, by talking to the kids in the neighborhood, because you are known to those children. Their parents won't mind you talking to them, so it's not like they're talking to a stranger, and that way they'll tell you things about their parents or about what's going on in their house.
Now, when you find out so you're writing down two or three things a week.
Well, what you do, and what we're doing, is we're keeping a notebook near our phone, and I may see a neighbor do something that's a little bit out of the ordinary. One of my neighbors across the street walks out onto his front lawn at night, and he stares up at the sky, and you can say that maybe he's looking at the stars, but that seems awfully odd to do every night. I've looked at the stars, but I think what's normal when one looks at stars, you do that maybe, you know, once a year or something. You don't stand there every night staring. And I'm wondering, well, okay, I'll make a mental note of that. I write it down in my notebook. And once we have a full notebook, that's what we call a dossier on the different people in our neighborhood, then we can talk to the Department of Homeland Security and do what the president's asking us to do, and that's to keep our eyes and our ears open.
All right, we're talking with Dean Wheeler. Dean is you're just a member of a neighborhood in Mill Valley, California. What do you do for a living, Dean?
My wife and I operate a bookstore and a holistic health food store, Phil, in Sausalito, California.
And you live in a neighborhood of some, what, did you say 20 or 30 homes?
Yeah, it's about that.
Do you all know each other?
Well, we do know each other, but you never want to get to know people so well that you lose your objectivity, because in the war on terror, I may be turning these people into the police someday, so why would I want to get to know them that well? And I think that's the thing that we have to keep in mind in the next 50 years. When we fight this horrible thing called terrorism, don't get to know your neighbors that well, because you might, within the next few years, be literally turning them into the police. And I can tell you, I think that would be embarrassing to know somebody and call them a friend and say, oh yeah, I called the police, they're going to arrest you today.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about what we as private citizens can do in the war on terror. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Wheeler's Neighborhood Watch Group, and this grew out of your Neighborhood Watch, you guys decided to write down things that you see people in the neighborhood doing suspiciously. You're keeping track of the groceries that they're taking out of their car. You're keeping track of the times that they leave their homes and come back. And you say that you're trying to make this fun, right?
Well, you want to make it fun. It's just what can we all do to help our country?
Do you confront people?
You mean verbally, Phil?
Yeah, confront them.
I would not advise that. I just don't think it's a smart idea. But what you can do, and what we do advise people to do, is to leave a note in the mailbox of someone that perhaps you're observing, and you can put down in the note what we do is just a reminder. Do you have Uncle Sam's back? Are you looking out for the country? And that will either make them think about what they're doing that's suspicious, or they'll take pains to hide what they're doing. Either way, you got them.
All right, getting Uncle Sam's back is the name of your organization, so you're reminding people to watch out for the country.
That's right.
Is this note anonymous?
Well, you don't sign your name to it, but they know who it comes from. And, and, And you don't want, and the reason why you don't sign your name is not because you want to be anonymous. It's because you don't want them to focus in on one neighbor or another.
All right, so the guy who was leaving his house at 5 a.m. and coming home at 7, what was he doing?
Well, I compiled a notebook on him, Phil. And then once that's done, you write down his license number and you get his Social Security number, which you can get by going to one of his to his mailbox and opening a piece of his mail.
All right, but that's against federal law to tamper with the mail, right?
No, not if you seal it and put it back. Then it's totally within the parameters of the Homeland Residential Privilege provisions of the Homeland Security Bill. And then you mail...
All right, so you can go into someone's mailbox under the current Homeland law.
You can take out a piece of mail, open it, and read it so long as you reseal it and put it back, because the federal mail is obviously protected by federal law.
Okay, and then what?
Then we take the dossier and we mail it off, the dossier off to the Department of Homeland Security in Washington, D.C., and we put that to the attention of the Ministry of Internal Intelligence. And just like that, you have Uncle Sam's back and you're protecting your country. It's fun. It helps you, it keeps you sharp because it helps you concentrate. And someone else is being monitored by the government, so you do feel like you're doing something for the country.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler here. You don't have an organization, just a neighborhood watch.
No, that's right, Phil. This is a Pacific Grove Neighborhood Watch in Mill Valley, California.
So this is just an outgrowth of your neighborhood watch?
Absolutely, Phil. It's the thing is, what we once thought is no more. That's why certain groceries and different comings and goings are of great concern, and that's what we remind ourselves. And that's what we tell everybody. What we once thought is no more. And if you can remind yourself of that phrase, what you once thought, maybe the lady across the street, you know, was a good mother and was taking care of her children, is no more. She is potentially as dangerous as any Al-Qaeda operative. She could be as dangerous. That pregnant woman could have explosives. It could mean the death of thousands. A woman driving her child in a station wagon, with an innocent-looking baby in a car seat, the next thing you know, if she's driving that home and blowing it up,
it's a frightening thought.
Yes, it is.
I mean, into a mall.
Driving it right.
One 800 449 8686. Is this really, Dean, what being a good American is about?
Well, Phil, if you've done nothing wrong, you have nothing to fear. Remember, what we once thought is no more. And the other catchphrase we have is, if you've done nothing wrong, there's nothing to fear. So let's go down our checklist, if I could, Phil. I don't know how much time you have.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds.
All right, number one, watch for groceries. Watch for groceries your neighbor takes out of his car. Number two, what time are they coming home and leaving? Notice any unusual numbers, times of day. Number three, in as friendly a manner as possible, approach their children. You're not exactly a stranger, so your neighbors won't mind you talking to their kids. Number four, at least once a week, make a practice of following the wife on her daily activities. That is someone else's wife. It's easier to know where the husband is, Phil, because he's in one place. He's working. But a wife is tougher to track. Is she communicating with any cell or any organization? Your government will be grateful to know. Number five, a good practice is to write down the license plate number of any visitors who come to the home. And number six, kids are always a great source of information, especially girls. If you have a teenage son, you might get him to be friendly with the teenage daughter across the street when he brings her home for refreshments or to play video games. You can monitor their conversations. Train your son in the proper questions to ask. Train him in interrogation techniques. Mount a camera in all bathrooms, enabling you to see visitors in your home and to see if they're making cell phone calls while in your bathroom.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. How do we stay aware? What are the things we can do to help our country be secure? Let's talk to Lindsay on the Phil Hendry Show. Lindsay, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
You are really frightening me, person talking. I think you're paranoid.
Well, it's frightening, Lindsay, what our country's up against.
What are we up against? We're still,
yeah.
I mean, we're the home of the free, are we not?
Well, we just had 3,000 human beings incinerated.
We did, and you know what?
In the explosion of two buildings, and
if you
I don't
want to
see that happen again.
Listen,
I don't want to see that happen again, Lindsay.
Okay.
All right,
I'm going to be quiet for a minute. When you're done talking,
okay.
I
don't want to see that happen again. And if that means monitoring my neighbors to make sure that they're doing things properly, we'll do that. Now I'm done.
Have you ever heard of obsessive compulsive? That's what you are.
You know, this isn't the Dr. Phil McGraw show, okay?
No,
we're talking about the security of our country.
If you were to come into my neighborhood and talk to my children, I'd be out for kicking your ass, you freak.
Well, I doubt very seriously if you'd be able to do that. And besides, you wouldn't know. Hello?
I guess she hung up. I guess,
Well, see, that's a suspicious person right there.
Why?
Because she's overly upset with being looked at. Why is that? Why is that woman so frightened to have her activities and her movements scrutinized? I find that very suspicious. Her name was Lindsay. Can you tell me what city she was calling from?
Well, you know what?
Phil, just as an exercise.
All right, she was calling from Salt Lake City.
All right. There's a woman named Lindsay in Salt Lake City who is very suspicious. She doesn't like the fact that I love my country or that I want to protect it. And Lindsay, I don't want to hurt you, and we don't want to hurt you. We want to help you. So if you could contact the Homeland Security Office in Washington, D.C., tell us what you know. Tell us what it is that you're afraid of.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler's Neighborhood Watch Group got together and said, how can we be the eyes and the ears? How can we do what President Bush asked us to do? He and his neighbors are doing things like writing down suspicious movements of their neighbors. They're talking to the neighbors' children. They're monitoring the groceries that are going in and out of the houses. They're doing what they can to make sure America is safe, according to them. Is this paranoid? Is this being a bad neighbor? Is it being a good neighbor? And is it all right for a friend of yours to talk to your children and by doing so get information about you? They're not a stranger, they're a friend. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Show
1-800-449-8686. Right, and a lot of these things, Phil.
All right, I'm talking with Dean Wheeler with the Neighborhood Watch Group in Northern California. How can we help the war on terror? The president has said, keep your eyes and your ears open. We've just had new threats from Al Qaeda. We've got a new operative in custody. These are heady times, aren't they, Dean?
They really are, Phil. And it's the time, I think, for all of us to keep an eye on each other. But we can have fun doing it. It doesn't have to be a frightening experience. My kids and I enjoy. And I'll tell you right now, and I don't see anything wrong with this, and there's nothing illegal in going through your neighbor's garbage. You can go down early in the morning before the truck arrives, and you can pull two or three bags out of the can and go through the garbage and have the bags back in. And the kids think it's fun. We've set up a kind of a conveyor belt in my garage so we can go through this stuff. Taking Polaroid pictures of visitors to the home. Whatever you can do. Remember, Phil, and I want to remind everybody, 3,000 Americans gave up their lives so that we can all sit and not do anything about this, so we can all sit and watch football. Well, I'm not going to do that. I refuse to do that. I want to be active. I want to be in the war, and I'm going to be in the war.
I think it's admirable having your kids get up early in the morning so you guys can haul garbage bags into the garage and put it on a conveyor belt.
So we can pick through the garbage. And most of it's innocent. But every now and again, there's a page with some handwriting on it. Every now and again, there's a phone number. Every now and again, there's equipment that you don't recognize that's being tossed out. It's interesting.
1-800-449-8686. Raul, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Yes. How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Dean, I really admire your pizzazz to defend my country. I love my country just as much as you do.
Thank you very much.
I served in the Marine Corps.
Thank you very much.
But there's a couple of points there that I'm really worried about, man, because, you know, with so many pedophiles today, I'm not going to feel very comfortable having adults coming, approaching my children and asking questions if I'm not present.
These are people you know. These are your neighbors. In other words, you've talked to them, you've met them, you know
and
the wife.
And pedophiles come from even inside the family, my friend. Uncles, aunts, you name it.
Well,
you know
what
can happen.
Do you have friends?
And secondly, the
Hold on. Did you hear his question?
No, I'm sorry.
What was your question, Dean?
Do you have friends?
Of course.
Okay. But do you suspect them as being pedophiles?
I try to suspect my children as much as I can. And unless I know someone very, very well, even then I'm still a little apprehensive.
Well, I
always want to be present. If there's some adult talking
to
me.
I'm not saying anything to them other than what time does your dad go to work? What time does he get home? There's nothing sexual. You don't have to worry about that.
Well, like you
like
said, everyone can be a suspicious person.
Well
I'd rather go more to what can really today and around my
kids,
family. That's a pedophile.
I take the kids. Well, you don't have to worry about that rule. We're just looking through your garbage. How often, for instance, does your wife have?
How can you say not to worry? Say not to worry if you're going to go over somebody's house?
Right. We're not going
to open
go
up a mailbox.
Yeah. Well,
and
that's
with
not,
security fraud as far as visa cards or anything else.
Right.
I mean, how can you expect someone just to lay back and say that's okay?
Because I'm not doing anything other than making sure that your purchases are proper. How often, for instance, does your wife have her period? How often, for instance, these are innocent questions, and when we find
but
out the answer...
Wait a minute.
That is yours.
You're not a cop, right, Dean?
Oh, no, I'm just with Neighborhood Watch, but we're doing what the president asked us to do, keep an eye out.
Did the president say to check out if my wife has a period every often? I mean, come on.
This is going to sound crazy. Is she really a woman? For instance, your wife, you could be living with a man disguised as a woman, and I look at her tampon, and it's clean. So.
Oh, God. So what are you saying?
I mean, if they're living together, they're trying to, they're showing a facade.
They're really two guys living together with one dressed as a woman?
Yes.
Why?
Some kind of cell activity, some kind of terrorist activity.
And for that, you're going to the garbage...
If you can't tell a man from a woman, then how you can tell a terrorist from a regular American?
Well, I can tell you the Israelis took out a bunch of terrorists dressed as women. They did it in 19... whenever it was, I forget. But I'll tell you this, Raul, I'm not going to do anything other than take your kids for a car ride and say, hey, you want to get an ice cream cone and ask them about...
Take
you?
My kids on a car ride? Are you crazy?
No, all I'm doing is I'm asking.
No way, man. No way. Any parent who's listening to this station right now,
yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Will not ever let their children go with any kind of neighbor for a ride without them being present, without even being consulted.
But you would know me.
Aren't you asking the man's permission?
Well, he's not even home yet. The kids are out playing. I get him in the car. I drive him around. What does your dad do for a living? What does your mom do? Is your mom really... Is she nice?
So why do you need the kids to do that? Why don't you go up straight to the guy and ask?
Does your mother take her clothes off in front of you? Does your father? You know, that's all I'm saying, Raul. And that's why...
This is very invasive, and the stuff you're asking the kids got nothing to do with Homeland Security.
Absolutely.
Well, Phil, I disagree. I disagree. I respectfully disagree, Raul. Are you American?
Who, me?
Yes.
Born and raised in New York.
Well, the name is a little unusual. That's all it's... All right, well, I'll just take your name down here, Raul, in Miami.
Yeah, okay, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world...
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm with Dean Wheeler. Now, you're in your garage right now, Dean, and you've got what is a conveyor belt in the garage where you put neighbor's trash on there and you pick through it, right?
That is right, Phil.
Okay. Are you seeing anything?
Well, we've got some garbage here that we picked out of a can at the bottom of the street. Now, this is the Mueller home. There are two blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, Northern European extraction. Why do they have six or seven empty refried bean cans? It's unusual. It's unusual.
I'm Irish. I like refried beans.
But it's unusual to eat that many in a week. Here is a half-used box of condoms. What's that about? Are they having sex regularly, and why are they not? Here is a perfectly good Pittsburgh Steeler game hat, and yet we live in the San Francisco area. Here are bunches of bananas. Here is a receipt from an Indian restaurant. Lamb. Here are containers for lamb. You see that there's suspicious enough activity here whereby we can turn this dossier over to the Homeland Security Office as a good citizen.
Because they eat lamb, they ate in an Indian restaurant, they have uneaten bananas, and they, I think you mentioned one other thing.
The refried beans.
And the Steelers hat.
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Cindy, go ahead.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Cindy speaking.
Yes, ma'am.
I really think that this gentleman, I've been listening to the show since it started. There is not one thing, not one item that he has listed that I believe is doing any kind of good to the United States citizens. I think this guy, and with all due respect,
I think it's very sad that you find excuses not to help this country. That I've been hearing nothing but from people who want to find excuses to do nothing for their country.
Dean, I'm going to listen to you, but please respect when I speak because we can't speak at the same time.
All right,
because then we're not going to get our points across.
Go ahead.
I really think that your behavior is the one that needs to be monitored. It's extremely strange behavior.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing, going through people's garbage, is an invasion of privacy. I do not believe that when the President of the United States asks the citizens of the U.S. to be active in protecting our country, I do not think he meant for you to go up to children, ask them what their parents do, if they undress in front of them, to go through their garbage and see if a tampon's bloody or not. This is perverted behavior. You are having and doing perverted behavior.
Okay, your response, Dean?
I think, Phil, when the Nazis invaded Poland and went into France and eventually, of course, took over all of Europe, a lot of people thought that the individuals that wanted to fight them were paranoid. They soon found out that they weren't. Al-Qaeda murdered 3,000 people. Look at this. Why does a woman have 6 empty boxes of Vagisil? I would ask
it's
you...
It's none of your business! It's none of your business! If she's having sex 3 times a day or 10 times a day, that's none of your business!
Then what is my business when the president says, keep your eyes open?
You know what's your business? Okay, I'm going to tell you what your business is if you want to be active. If you want my opinion, I'll give you my opinion.
This is a straight couple. Here's a jar of analese. Why?
Dean, listen to me.
Oh, God.
I could completely understand if you see a guy across the street that is loading a bag of rifles into the back seat of his car or all of a sudden is dressing all in black after 8 o'clock at night and goes out for a couple of hours, comes back with unusual stuff in his back. I mean, that's okay. I could understand and relate to that. But going up to children, asking them if their parents undressed, going through garbage and having your children, which is what I'm concerned about, your poor little children doing your strange behavior.
I've got a teenage son who dates a young lady across the street, Lauren, and she's a nice girl, but he asks her questions. And that way I don't have to. He just asks her, what is your father and mother doing, etc. I think it's very innocent. And it's not what your country can do for you. It's how well that you can investigate and do what you can for your country, as John Kennedy said. I took those words very seriously, Cindy, when the president spoke them. It's been a long time, but I do love my country.
I love my country very much, but it's not admirable behavior what you're doing. It's strange, and I think most people will agree with what I'm saying.
Unfortunately,
your children are copying your behavior, and what you're doing is you're raising children that are going to be just as strange as you.
You call it strange. I can't get over the fact that Bill and Rebecca Wilson, two people that I've known, are using countless jars of analese, which is...
What the lady asked, what difference does it make?
A straight couple using analese.
It doesn't.
Medicine cabinet, Cindy, how much of that would I find there?
Okay, listen to me.
No, Dr.
Ruth. Listen to me, Dr. Ruth. It's none of your business. It's none of your business how much people have checked what their preferences. That has nothing to do with terrorist behavior.
Does this have to do with you thinking that this woman may be a man?
This is the way that terrorists infiltrate neighborhoods. Yes.
It is not the way. You know what? I disagree with that.
And if they're if they're homosexuals, which Al-Qaeda is notoriously homosexual, she takes off or he takes off the female clothing and they're going at it night and day. I mean, there must be 50 jars of anal here. Billy, why don't you count?
Wait,
do you have your son? Yeah, I'm your son.
Am I the only
I agree.
I agree.
Do you have your son counting those jars?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you do your kid a favor and get him out of that garage so he's not counting jars of analese, Vagisil? Oh, my God.
God.
Oh, my God.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked at 3,000 Americans lost their lives, and I'm the only one taking it seriously.
You're taking it real seriously. Wait, I feel real safe with you in my neighborhood, buddy. I can tell you right now
there's probably something in your garbage that you want to hide from me because the bone.
There's nothing in my garbage I want you to see. But if you'll probably find a bunch of used condoms. How about that? Is that going to make me strange?
All right, Cindy. At the end of this life, when you go to heaven and you see the 3,000 souls of those people who perished on 9/11, what are you going to say to them?
Oh, that is dirty pool. Let me tell you something, pal. I was in New York on 9/11, on the anniversary. I saw those people.
3,000 people are dead, and I'm the only one counting jars of Adelaide's.
You know something? You mock those people.
How dare you?
No, how dare you? You mock them.
Exactly.
Thank you very much, Cindy.
Well, good. You finally said what she's been trying to spit out.
Yeah, 1-800-449-8686. Lucille, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi. Would you turn that conveyor belt off, Mr. Wheeler, please?
Hold on. There's something coming up. Yep. There's another jar.
Go ahead, Lucille.
I think that the present speaker is suffering from paranoia. He's the weirdest person that I have ever heard, and this is the scariest thing that I have heard since 9/11.
Wait a minute. Did you see Michael Jackson dangle his kid out a window?
Yes, I did.
You think I'm weirder than that?
I don't know, but you're weird in many, many ways.
In what way?
In what ways? Who gives you the right to go through people's garbage? Who gives you the right to open people's mail and then reseal it and put it back? You call that patriotic? I don't.
I'm trying to find out what people are doing.
You sound like somebody from Nazi Germany or old Soviet Russia.
Oh, Lucille, that is unfair. I'm an American. My father fought the Nazis in World War II. And let me say this. Why is it against the law to go through someone's garbage when they've thrown it away?
It doesn't belong to you. People have a certain right to privacy.
Who does it belong to?
It belongs to the garbage people who are going to destroy it.
Can they go through it? Are they allowed to go through it?
I don't know. Well, I don't know what they do with the garbage, but certainly you are also endangering the lives of your kids going to other people's garbage, and you're also raising your kids to be very suspicious and not very patriotic people, I must say.
Well, I will tell you this, Lucille. In a way, I am the garbage man because I take the garbage, I sift through it, I make notations, and then I take it to the dump myself.
Well, I would say
that... Isn't that nice of me?
Very nice of you, and I would say that most of the things you're talking about are garbage, and that's why you feel you know how to handle it.
Well,
but you are really a scary person, and I think that really people would be very, very afraid to hear the things that you are doing, and I can't believe that anybody who has asked us to report anything that might be suspicious to be going to the extent that you are going. You are really nuts.
Could you repeat that?
I said you really are nuts.
All right. Well, Lucille, one wouldn't be worried about their garbage if they didn't have terrorist activity items in it. So I would love to take a look at.
I don't know why.
I'd love to look in your dumpster.
Well, I wouldn't let you. No, I wouldn't let you because I'm hiding all kinds of things from you.
You wouldn't let me?
No.
What are you going to go down to your garbage can with a gun?
Right.
All right. Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. Dean, I can't wish you good luck because I think what you're doing is patently unconstitutional. And
look at that. Okay, I'm sorry, Phil. I know you're upset, but look at this. There's another half-open bottle of, another half-open box of condoms. Here's another half-open bottle of ketchup.
Whatever, man. What does that mean, something?
It just bothers me, that's all. It's just weird.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And so, you know, I got the binoculars on her right now.
All right, you're looking through the window of who? And by the way, this is a violation of the law.
No, sir. Phil, this is Homeland Security.
No, looking through the window.
This woman claims to be pregnant. And I'll tell you something, she better be, or there's something under that dress other than her stomach. And it could be fertilizer, explosives. It could be a variety of chemical or biological canisters. So
what are you doing?
I'm looking through the, yeah, she's taking it off now. Tommy, go in the house.
Are you with your son?
Yeah, go in the house. She's taking it off now. Oh, she's got to be 9 months. Have you ever visited these pregnant sites?
Oh, look, I don't want to talk about this, all right?
I'm looking at it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Roseanne, go ahead.
I think you are sick in the head. And I believe
Mr. Hendry?
No, she's talking about you.
And you should be investigated for cruelty to children. I don't care if you've got gloves up to your elbows for anybody to go through somebody's garbage. They have to have all kinds of phobias.
Ma'am, the country, there might be Al-Qaeda in my neighborhood. You've heard of them, haven't you? They killed 3,000 Americans.
And you are going to go through somebody's garbage with two children that should be removed from your care.
Yeah, that's. I agree with you, Roseanne.
No, you agree? Those are my... Look, my son's helping me go through some empty Vagisil boxes, and that's it.
Honey, you need help. You should get help. And if you can't get it, maybe this radio show will help you get
it. I think maybe we could.
I'm looking through the window of a woman who claims to be pregnant.
Who cares?
Let's say, what if she isn't? What if she's lying? What if she's got Al-Qaeda under her skirt?
Mister, you need help. You ought to write to the president, tell him just what you're doing. He's not going to give you any medal.
I'll get the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
You will not.
You don't think so? What are you doing?
You'll get locked up in a sanatorium, and somebody else will be raising your children.
Ma'am, I'd like to know, for you to be this angry, what are you hiding? My children
I am
very,
very angry at anybody that would subject their children to such nonsense.
Well, ma'am,
I work in a hospital, and I would not go through anybody's garbage.
Even if, is Annalise flammable? Jesus, this woman's ass could blow San Francisco off the map. Look, my son Tommy has been able to get over to the Phillips house and bring over some very vital dirty laundry for us to analyze.
Don't you have anything better to do with your children and their time?
Well, they go to school, and when Tommy comes home, he does his homework. We finish dinner, then Tommy comes into the garage, and we begin what we call crime fighter night.
That's
We pick through garbage.
Why don't you go to a basketball game with Tommy? Why don't you play ball with Tommy? Why don't you give him some good memories
And Roseanne, if we're at a basketball game and your home is blown to bits by Al-Qaeda the night I'm watching the Lakers lose another one, how are you going to feel about that?
I don't want your help.
Oh, you just want to get blown up?
I don't want your help.
What do you mean Tommy brings you...
Tommy goes over to visit the girl across the street, and he sneaks some of the dirty laundry into his jacket. Then we bring it here and analyze it, and don't ask me how, because it's none of your business.
Poor Tommy.
Tommy and I both wear superhero costumes while we fight crime. It's fun.
How old is Tommy?
He's 15, ma'am.
I feel so sorry.
Why do you feel sorry for him protecting his country?
He's not protecting his country.
Roseanne,
this
is Phil Hendry.
That needs to have his head examined.
Mr. Wheeler, you say that you analyze the laundry in a way that's none of our business?
Yes.
Maybe he's Al-Qaeda.
You're going to have to tell me how.
All right, we sniff it.
You know, I really have a wonderful husband in the other room, and I am wasting my time with this man who there is nothing anybody can say to help him, but he needs some psychiatrist to analyze what's wrong with him.
Is your husband awake?
My husband is sitting in the living room waiting for my company.
What's he doing?
He's watching television.
Wait a minute. You were listening to the radio and he was watching TV?
We were listening to the radio on the way home in the car.
Has your husband ever wandered off on his own someplace?
Honey, you want to wander off? If he wants to, he can go ahead and wander. We've been married for 47 years, and I haven't got a worry about what he's doing with his time. Mm-hmm. It's called trust.
Whatever.
All right. Thank you very much, Roseanne.
Okay. Goodbye now.
You're not just going to let her hang up, are you?
Yes, I am. Okay, well, good job there. By the way, the voice of Dean Wheeler, performed by Phil Hendry. There you have it, another Christmas classic on The Phil Hendry Show. We'd like you to visit The Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com, that's philhendryshow.com, for a backstage pass, our souvenir shop, and our Best of The Phil Hendry Show 2002 CD, World Famous.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
You okay?
Well, I don't know. I just sometimes you just wonder whether you did the right thing or not, you know.
We're on the air right now, Mr. Bozell. If you want to keep talking? Do you want to keep talking, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir. That's fine. It's just that I've been married 17 years. I always try to do the right thing, and I always seem to come up short.
What you told me was, and my audience has joined us, you told me you walked into the house after getting good news, right?
Yes, sir. I had my test back. I'd had some chest pains back in October. My doctor had me going for a full physical, and I got everything back was normal. My cholesterol is normal. My blood work's normal. I was very concerned. I was very worried, so it's quite a load off my mind. And as I came home, and my wife was there with some women from the kids' school. They were doing a cookie exchange, which is what they do to raise money for the school. And again, you have to understand my mood. I was feeling good, and I made a comment to Dee Dee Young, who works with my wife on school projects. I said, "Hey, Dee Dee," because I noticed when I came in. I said, "Hey, Dee Dee, nice camel toe," and it was there for everybody to see. I went into the kitchen to get a beer, and I went upstairs to take a shower.
And that's when your wife sought you out, right?
She didn't just seek me out. She lit into me, told me I had no class. Told me I was crude, rude. I didn't have any breeding, all this. Here I am. I had a great day.
Now, you had said to Dee Dee Young, who's a friend of your wife's, nice camel toe?
Yeah. first of all, I did it for two reasons. I didn't think it was that terrible of a thing to say. I was just like telling somebody they got a cowlick or they got something stuck between their teeth. And also because I was in a good mood, so I just said something off the tip of the top of my head.
You thought you were doing the lady a favor.
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, sir. I thought she was going to go get up and walk out in the street. Looked like she'd been sitting on a bar stool all afternoon, which I know Dee Dee very well. She's a good woman. She loves her children. She's walking out with a camel toe. People think she's had her rear end parked on a bar stool all afternoon, wearing tight pants. I made a harmless comment. I was feeling good. I said I saw camel toe.
Why did you think that was harmless, Steve? Just out of...
Well, are you telling me that it's not?
Well, I don't want to commit to any... Why did you think it was harmless?
Well, I don't think there's any difference between telling a woman she has a camel toe and she's got food stuck between her teeth. I was making a comment that I thought would be helpful, and she's got this thing, you put a quarter there. Now come to find out these people, they've canceled their contract with me. It's a $70,000 addition to their home, and they've canceled the contract.
Now, the people that have canceled this contract, the wife was the one who you said this comment to, right?
That's the Youngs, yeah. Bob and Dee Dee.
Bob and Dee Dee Young have canceled this $70,000 contract. You're a construction contractor, right?
Yes, I am. And that's the other thing, sir. I mostly do commercial. I hardly ever do any residential anymore, but I did this as a favor to them. And also because I wanted to take my wife on a cruise, and the money would come in handy.
How much was this worth? This was a bid for...
It was about $70,000.
And it was a bid for a new family room or something?
Yeah, sliders. And just because I said to this woman, nice camel toe, they take $70,000 out of my pocket. They make it virtually impossible for me to take my wife on a cruise. The cruise company won't give me my deposit back. I was feeling so good. And now...
Okay.
And the other thing that about the cruise I wanted to take my wife on was that her father's never thought much of me. My wife's father, my father-in-law, has always thought that I was just nothing. And I wanted to show him how good I treat his daughter, and that's out the window now. He comes over on Thanksgiving. He wants to carve the turkey. He's telling me what to do. He calls me soft. He calls me emotional.
All right. Steve, you walked into the room. You saw one of your wife's friends. You said, hey, nice camel toe. You went up and took a shower. Your wife came in and screamed at you. And that was the first that you knew you'd done something wrong.
That was the first I knew I'd done something wrong.
As far as you're concerned, telling a woman nice camel toe is the same as saying you got some food stuck between your teeth.
I was trying to do the woman a favor. You see people go out into these women go out into public with their capri pants all sucked up. And I was trying to do her a favor.
Now, this lawsuit that you're filing is rather comprehensive, isn't it?
You better believe it. I'm suing them, the Youngs, for breach of contract. They got no right to cancel their contract with me just because I said the guy's wife, you know, had camel toe. It wasn't like I'm trying to say I'm hot for her or anything. I'm also suing the Ensenada Empress Cruise Lines for not giving me back my deposit. And also, and this is the most painful part, Mr. Henry, I'm forced to sue my own father-in-law as a preemptive civil measure. Against him in case he tries to emotionally abuse me, I will have a legal order of restraint. That's physical against him, not verbal. So I will try to get a legal order of restraint so that he can't give me a hard time for not taking his daughter on a cruise, and also he won't be able to give me a hard time no more at Thanksgiving. I'm suing the cruise line because I could have taken the cruise, but they won't give me my deposit back, and I'm suing the Youngs because they canceled the contract, and also because they got no sense of humor, and all I said was a nice camel toe.
Okay, this is a lot of stuff to think of. I'm going to give our phone number out here, sir, and see if our audience has a comment on it.
That doesn't make any difference to me, sir. I just came on to tell my story because my attorney asked me to call some radio stations, and that's what I'm doing.
Okay, but I give my phone number out in case people want to talk about it, okay?
I just don't understand what's the matter with people. If I had my pants all shoved up, I would want someone to tell me. If I had my, and I'm sure you would, too.
I don't really care. If my pants are all the way up my, you know what, I'm going to pull them down. I can generally feel it.
Well, I'm just trying to do her a favor.
All right, well, I'll give our number out. It's 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is a lawsuit. How much money are you asking in total from the Ensenada Empress Cruise Lines, from the Youngs, and from your father-in-law?
My attorney has the entire complaint, but I believe we're asking in excess of $10 million. $10 million for emotional distress, $10 million for breach of contract, $10 million for verbal abuse.
Do you really think it's worth suing over something like this?
I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what else I can do. I came home feeling good, and all of a sudden, my wife tells me I'm a piece of... I don't have any class, I don't have any manners, I'm uncouth, I'm a boor. Why did I say this? I said, what did I say? She said, you said to Dee Dee, nice camel toe, you don't never say that.
Well, you do know that you're referencing a very private thing, right?
You know, let me ask you something, a very private thing. You go down here to any of the restaurants in the area that we live in, and women have their cleavage. They're showing that.
Yeah, but you don't go up to a woman and say, nice cleavage, do you?
Some men do.
I've never heard a man say nice cleavage to a woman.
Some men do. Some men notice it and go, you know, you got a nice pair or whatever.
Well, I've never heard that. I mean, you're in the construction business. Maybe some of the guys are a little rowdy.
Well, I don't know. Some of my guys are rowdy. But if it was so private, why does she wear her pants like that? It made the thing sticking out and everything.
I think it's a rude thing to say, Steve. I got to be honest with you, okay? Okay?
Yeah.
All right. I think it's a rude thing to say. I don't know whether you're going to win the breach of contract suit. So because you said this about the guy's wife having a camel toe or whatever, he has canceled his contract.
He has canceled his contract, a $70,000 addition to the back of his home, which with that money I would take my wife on an Ensenada cruise on an Ensenada Empress cruise, and then her father wouldn't think that I'm just some silly son of a bitch.
Her father thinks you're a silly son of a bitch?
She's always... Daddy always wonders why I married you.
Well, you sound like a successful businessman. You have your own contracting company, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you you do commercial business and residential business. It's just the fact that you had a misjudgment there, I would say. You don't see that?
I don't see that at all, no, sir, Mr. Henry. I can tell you I've been around people my whole life, and you go up to a woman and say, hey, you got a camel toe working there. Hey, you know what? Most women just laugh it off.
Do you know Ms. Young?
I know her husband.
But you don't know her?
I don't know what that has to do with it.
Going up to a woman that you don't even know and saying that?
I can assure you, Mr. Henry, I don't know what you know about business, but it's very, you can say that. It's not a big deal.
All right, Steve, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. He walked into this man, Mr. Bozell, a construction contractor, walked into his home where his wife was entertaining some female friends, and he saw one of the women, and he said, hey, nice camel toe. And apparently she took great offense. His wife got upset with him. They've canceled a $70,000 contract, construction contract. He's going to sue them for breach of contract. He's suing a cruise line because he can't take his wife on a cruise now because the money he was looking for from that contract's not forthcoming. Sometimes I think we're doing people's court here, you know. I really sometimes... Some of those situations that we hear on this show. In addition, he's going to sue his own father-in-law, a man who he says has been emotionally abusive to him in the past and is sure to be again once he finds out that he's not taking his daughter on a cruise. And therefore, he's going to try and preempt that abuse by filing a restraining order on him. He's asking for $10 million from the cruise line, from the neighbors, and from his father-in-law. Do you think it's rude of a man to say something like that to a woman, especially a woman he doesn't know? Or is it simply like telling somebody you've got some food stuck between your teeth or you got a little food on your chin? 1-800-449-8686. The phrase was, nice camel toe, by the way. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686.
Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor involved in a lawsuit. This is a personal lawsuit against not only a member of your own family, Mr. Bozell, some neighbors who were friends of your wife's, and a cruise company. And I feel it necessary to explain to people, since we have had a couple of calls, what a camel toe is.
Well, it's nothing that...
Well, I could probably do it. It's when clothing gets caught in a certain crevice of the body, shall we say. And that's about it, right?
Yes, sir. And Mr. Henry, there are certain things as human beings I think we should say to each other. Tell each other you got something in your teeth. Telling people that you got your button undone, your fly is undone, or something in your nose. Or if you've got your clothes are shoved up the crack. And this Dee Dee Young could have really scared some people with that thing, too, because it was, she's not a thin woman. And I think you know what I'm talking about. She's a heavy woman. And that is scary. That is something that can frighten anyone.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. $10 million you want from your father-in-law, the Ensenada Empress Cruise Lines, and the Youngs, because they were going to have you build a family room for them, and now they've canceled. George, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Yeah, this is George.
Go ahead, George.
Hey, I think that what you did, Steve, was very rude, and you need to take responsibility for your own actions. Quit blaming everyone else. Father-in-law probably knows you better than you know yourself, because you're running around whining like a little kid, blaming everyone else and trying to sue for millions of dollars, and that's just typical of what's going on in this country, where people refuse to take responsibility for their own actions.
But I say, grow up and move on. Wouldn't you want me to tell you that you had food on your face or food stuck in your teeth?
You don't look at somebody's wife the minute you go through a front door and stare at private parts and then make a comment about it. If anybody had done that to your wife, you would have punched them in the face.
I would have.
Now, that's a very good comment. What would you do if somebody had done that to your wife?
I wouldn't have done nothing. I would have thought he was being helpful.
Helpful?
I would have said, thank you very much for staring at my wife's private parts. I don't think
I'll tell you what's rude. That Dee Dee Young walked around with what looked like that thing, and she's very overweight. She's very overweight.
But that is her business. I mean, if her husband loves her the way she is, how she looks is really none of your business.
Oh, I don't think
but
that
now,
her husband...
But now he has to worry about how you're going to look at his wife and what kind of comments you're going to make while you're working at his house and he's at home. So I can see why he would cancel the contract. He doesn't want you running around his house staring at his wife's private parts making comments.
Sir,
that's your common sense.
Sir, I got to tell you, I am a happily married man. I love my wife very much. I would never in a million years do that. I felt good. I just had a physical.
Yeah, you explained all of that, but then you walked in, you looked at the guy's wife, and you said, nice camel toe.
That's the first thing through the door. Right. Not, I love you, honey, I missed you, but you stare at somebody else's woman and making a comment about her private parts.
Okay, let me ask you
this.
Think
about it.
I'll tell you what. Don't you think this is equally rude to come over to my house when you're weighing about 180 pounds and you got your pants pulled up so high that everything you can see? Don't you think that's rude?
I don't think, you know, if the lady feels comfortable dressing like that and she's got clothing on, what is wrong with that? If she's comfortable.
Aren't I allowed to say anything like, Jesus, you know, can't you maybe let a little air in between your skin and those pants?
Look, do you understand what this man is saying?
What?
The first thing through the door, not, hi, honey, I'm home, not, where are the kids, but, hey, Dee Dee, nice camel toe.
That means you walk through that door and you stare right at that lady's private parts.
You think I was staring at her, you know what?
That's the first thing you did when you walked through the door. Now your wife has to be wondering what you're thinking about.
Well, and George,
I tell you, George, you can't miss it. If you came over to my house, you'd be on my side. You can't even miss this woman.
Okay, come on. Enough comments about the weight, all right? George, thank you very much. 1-800.
Well, are you married, George?
Yes, I am married. And I can see exactly how this person would be very upset. And still, you need to take responsibility. Apologize to the lady.
Exactly.
Grow up and move on.
My God, she's a walking magazine rack, and I can't say anything.
All right.
You need to grow up.
Okay, George, thanks.
It's none of your business.
Right.
It's not your wife.
1-800-449-8686. Steve Bozell, construction contractor from Corona, California. Walked into his home, looked at a friend of his wife and said, nice camel toe. And now, a result of that comment...
I've lost a contract. I have lost two friends. My father-in-law is going to think that I'm a piece of garbage like he usually does. I can't take my wife on a cruise all on account of some people don't... even when I try to be helpful.
And that's why you were crying when you called our show.
You said you wouldn't mention anything.
But that's why you were crying.
Because even when I try to be helpful.
Let's go to Mary Frances. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Mary Frances. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, ma'am, good.
You know, I don't think this man's malicious, but he's got to be completely socially inept. You don't tell a woman that she's got camel toe. That's rude. That's insulting. She can't do anything about it. What's she going to do?
Ma'am.
I understand that you think it's like being helpful.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's not, and that's what you have to understand.
All you have to do is reach down.
The real world. It's not, and I cannot find a single woman. You say in the business world? I understand the business world, every level of it. And no woman at any level would ever want to hear that. And I would look at you like you were the biggest freak on the face of the earth if you said that to me, and I would be offended.
Wait a minute. All you
and the reason that you want to sue other people for your, you know, lack of judgment in what you say, take responsibility, man. Get over it. You made a mistake, and you're going to pay the consequences for it. And the crew line and anybody else, no, it's not their fault that you said something inappropriate. And you know what? If you said it to me, I'd be like, what kind of idiot is this? And I probably would not want to hire you anyway. I understand you're trying to be helpful. You're not malicious. That's fine. Understand that it's wrong. It's inappropriate.
Ma'am, if a gal has a problem with her pants getting stuck up in that area, she could put something there so the fabric can't go there, like a plastic shield or a plate.
She's going to walk in with a plastic shield or a plate's any better?
Ma'am, I would rather have my wife. Ma'am, I'd rather have my wife with a glass casserole dish cover or something down there instead of walking around for every man on God's good green earth to look right up her thing and everything.
And I'm glad you would, sir. But you know what? Most women don't want to be told that because it means A, you were looking there. B, it's just rude. It's inappropriate. And I'm glad you feel that way.
Well, what about women that do it on purpose and want men to see their everything down there?
You know what? They want to do that. It's the same reason women wear low-cut shirts. What are you going to walk up to a woman's low-cut shirt and say, excuse me, ma'am, I can see your boobs. You look like a slut. No.
Okay, thanks very
much. 1-800,
okay, 1-800-449-8686. This guy said to a woman, nice camel toe, and as a result, he has lost some business contacts. He's suing. He is suing because he thought he was being helpful to her by saying nice camel toe. 1-800-449-8686. That's the number.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686.
I can only hope that this never happens again, and that's what the work that I've been doing with some of the people who've helped me develop some of these things.
Now you've also said you're going to sue TP Sporting Goods for selling the Lycra tights that Ms. Young was wearing when you told her about her problem.
When I said, you nice camel toe, and she was wearing these Lycra tights that they had sold her. Yes, sir.
Stephen Bozell with us. He is a construction contractor suing his father, a cruise line, and the Youngs of Corona, California, because they canceled contracts with him after he said, hey, Dee Dee, nice camel toe. He was talking about the man's wife, Miss Dee Dee Young. You've also come up, what is the camel sneaker?
The camel sneaker is something that I hope to make available. Right now I've been speaking with Alta Sporting Goods and a number of other sporting good lines in the Southwest that I hope I can put in the sporting goods store.
And what is the camel sneaker?
It's a dish. It's a Pyrex. It's a Pyrex, transparent dish that sits down in the crotch area, much like a man's cup that will...
Why is it transparent?
We made it transparent in case she, you know, her husband and her want to make love or whatever. She takes it off. Well, now she don't have to take it off right away because he can see everything. So,
all right, I don't want to know any more about this.
Well, your producer said that I could give a phone number out.
No, that's fine. I don't want to give any. Here is Brandon on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Brandon. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
The first time caller. Anyway, I'm a student at the University of Utah. And my dad owns three construction companies. He owns apartment buildings all over the West Coast. He's very successful. He would have absolutely never said anything like this. If you want to go say something like this to a woman, go to a nightclub. I'm a big believer in modesty, and I think that there's a proper way about going about things. If you didn't want this lady in your home because she goes against your morals, you can politely ask her to leave because she's not dressed appropriately. My dad, at one of his businesses, he had an employee he was working for who was dressed very inappropriately, very immodest, and he actually went to his top manager and said, please have this lady change her clothing, dress more modestly, or she's not going to be here working anymore. Okay?
I try to deal with a sense of humor. I try to go with a sense of humor. Hey, nice camel toe, or you're taking my picture, or something like that. I don't want to come off like I've got a Mr. Tight Ass here, and I'm a Bible thumper, nothing like that.
Well, you're wrong. I mean, it's just so inappropriate. You need to learn some social skills. Listen to what the lady said before. You know, you're not malicious or whatever, but it's just so wrong to do that. I can't believe you can't see that. And you're up in the clouds if you're going to think you're going to get a dime from anybody. Go to your father-in-law and tell him you screwed up and ask for forgiveness. He's going to get close to him. All you're doing is building a gap between you and your father a lot more.
No, he's always said to my wife, I'm a loser and I'm too emotional and everything else, even though I got a successful business. Now I was going to try to impress him by taking his daughter on a cruise, and now because of this woman flashing toe all over my living room, I won't be able to take her, and now he'll think I'm a loser.
You know, I can't believe you're on a scene where you're wrong. The real person, the victim here, more so than the lady and her husband, is your wife. I feel so bad for her. How totally embarrassing. If my dad ever said that to a woman and my mom found out, I would be so embarrassed to my dad. I'm like so angry at him, and I guarantee you, 100%, he never would say something like that.
So everybody's telling me I'm wrong, and nobody says to Dee Dee Young, hey, why don't you wear some pants where you're not showing off
your toes?
You
could have said that in an appropriate way, and you don't have to feel like a big Bible person or whatever you said. There's an appropriate way of behaving, and you behaved wrong.
Now, what is this camel sneaker? Are you kidding?
I think that the time has come for women to start wearing something down there so that they don't gross everybody out. That's all I'm saying. Nobody says nothing about that. Everybody calls in and calls me wrong because I said, how about taking your toe outside and everything like that?
I don't think you're wrong for having a belief that women should dress modestly. In fact, in Arizona, there's a big movement where the teenagers are lobbying dealers to produce more modest clothes. That's not the point. The point is you went about it wrong. Okay? Lots of people listening agree with you that maybe women shouldn't dress that revealing.
So I should have said something. I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Later on, you could say, just leave the room, go in, get a beer, go upstairs, what are you going to do? Later, I say to your wife, hey, honey, that Dee Dee, man, did you see the pants she was wearing? Maybe one of you girls ought to say something to her.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now I'm not allowed free speech in my own home.
It ain't about free speech, Charlie. It's about being, like this guy's saying, appropriate. Okay, listen, Brandon, good points. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
That guy was from Utah, and I will bet you dollars to donuts that he was a Mormon telling me all about everything that he told me.
Well, whatever the cat was, I think the guy was making some sense, sir.
Well, maybe next time I'll just give what I should do is give the camel sneaker sales pitch.
What are you talking about?
If I see a woman that has that, I could give the camel sneaker sales pitch.
Well, what is that?
It's basically just saying, first of all, I walked into the house and I saw Dee Dee, and I would say, Dee Dee, how are you doing? And she'd say, hi, Steve, I'm doing good. I said, hey, listen, I've got a product that Alta Sportswear is probably going to be put online here in about 2 months, and I'd like to give you and all the ladies here an opportunity, the camel sneaker. Now, no, not evermore will you be embarrassed about having the camel toe.
No, man, no, 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 no. No, ain't gonna work.
I could pitch the product and pull one out of my back pocket. She could put it on there.
No, I don't think she's gonna put it on there, man. No. Gary, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hey guy. Look, it's just a matter of proper etiquette and good manners. And the truth is, if you're suing them, you're gonna get punished because if you win, they're gonna appeal it. And you're going to have to win again, and the chances are dead against you.
What do you mean,
you need to let that thing go before you get slapped really hard for being so damn indignant.
What do you mean hit again?
If you're suing them, I'll tell you what, you lose. If you win, you're going to have to win again, because if I was them, I would appeal it. And the minute I appeal it and I win, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to bust your chops hard for being so darn rude. I know what you were saying, and I got all of that, but it's a matter of, you're in a situation you can't win, you need to let it go.
Wait a second. What are they going to sue me for? I didn't do anything to them.
You're suing them, aren't you?
Yeah, well,
they could sue you.
Okay, they turn around and file a countersuit against you. And I guarantee you, you got a bunch of women on that jury and men. They're not going to go for you, guy. You're hurt. How do you hurt? You're a losing situation, and what you're doing here is just, you can't win. It's a no-win situation
for you. My attorney is Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, California. She tells me that I have at least a good charge on the...
Who tells you that?
My attorney, Dolores Blazingame.
Your attorney.
Yes,
listen,
sir.
How do attorneys make money? By sucking scumbags in, telling them, yeah, you got a good chance, you're going to pay them. It doesn't matter whether you win or lose. She's still going to get paid.
Okay,
dude, wake up. So in other words, you're in the business world. You know that.
So in other words, you let your wife walk right out into the world with the camel toe.
No, I wouldn't. I'd slap her ass if I caught her.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
So,
but I tell you what, if somebody come in and was being rude, and it sounds to me like you were being awful rude, I tell you what, dude, I'd slap your ass.
Wait a second.
And I'm just an old redneck from Tampa, and, you know, I see a lot of that kind of thing. But I don't run up and go, hey, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Well, wait a second.
I'm on your side, but I'm trying to tell you, you need to leave it alone.
I hear you very much. Do you so you say your wife has that problem?
Nope, my wife don't have that problem.
Because I've got this product called a camel sticker.
Yeah, I heard that, man. It's kind of funny, but no kidding, guys.
What's funny about that?
Let this thing go, you're going to get hurt, I'm telling you.
All right, well, here's the thing. If your wife had that problem, and I walked in and very innocently said, hey, check out the camel toe on her, you're telling me you did.
Dude, come on. I don't know where you get off calling that innocently. It ain't working. I mean, you're trying to justify this in your mind.
Yeah, you can't.
Just
when it comes to another man's wife and her clothing and her appearance and anything, don't say a word. Don't even say a word.
So I'm supposed to sit there staring at that?
No, don't look at it. Just ignore it. And like he said, you might have one of the girls. Or you might go up and say, you know, them pants are inappropriate. There's a right way to do things.
And the way
you did it. Believe me, she's going to explode. Her husband's going to get pissed off. Your wife's probably going to get pissed off. Everybody's going to be pissed off.
Which is what happened, yeah.
Okay.
And you're going to end up the loser.
Let me, Gary, if you walk up to your wife and grab her by the pants and give him a yank and she buys a camel sneaker, I'll give you a discount.
Okay. All right, Gary, thanks for the call here. 1-800-449-8686. So the camel sneaker is available now at your local sporting goods store.
I paid good money for that, so could you read that better, please?
The camel sneaker is available now at your local sporting goods store.
If you don't want to have camel toe.
And I will not say that. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the one and only world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio.
There you have it, another Christmas classic on The Phil Hendry Show. We'd like you to visit The Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com, that's PHILHENDRIE show.com, for a backstage pass, our souvenir shop, and our Best of The Phil Hendry Show 2002 CD, World Famous.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You people need to stop pulling the race card. You people want to be treated equal,
you people,
then act equal.
You are talking about African-American people now?
I'm talking about everybody. You had to be the African-American, the Asian.
What about Indians?
My half-brother's a Native American. You people, if you want to be treated equal,
are you trying to tell me all the Indians ought to be treated the same way?
Everybody needs to just... My God, I spent 6 months in jail. Everybody was treated the same. You had to be the Asian guy that I was with, the Native American guy, the African American guy.
Let me ask you something.
When you go to jail, your rights as a human being have been stripped from you.
Except if you're black, and I think there should be some supply of grape soda. That's all I'm saying.
Grape soda? Christ, we had packets of lemonade that we had to make in water.
That's what the white man gets, but the black inmate...
Then everybody should get it. Why should the black man be treated better than the white man?
Because the black inmate traditionally was treated worse, and so we're trying to bring him up to speed on how to get treated better. Plus, blacks are going to take over the country someday, and if we treat them bad now, then when they become president, all the whites will be in concentration camps.
So we have to start treating all of the blacks.
And all I got to say is this. If you don't like it, leave. Plain and simple.
As an American,
If you don't like it, leave.
I'm an American. I do not leave. I'm going to stay here.
Look, Dan.
Quit complaining about it.
Dan, all we're asking for is some lessons in how to jerk pork and grape soda.
What is it with jerking pork?
Jerk pork? The average white man doesn't eat jerk pork. Why should you get a special diet because, you think you're, like, more special than everybody else?
Have you ever heard of kosher cooking?
No.
Of how Jewish folks eat kosher cooking. I'm saying my people are entitled to our own food.
You cook it for yourself. We shouldn't have to specialize to you at all.
We should have some jerk porking in the jails so that black inmates can have a choice. That's all we're saying.
You know, I'm Irish. Should I have cabbage? Honestly.
Do you eat cabbage? Of course you don't. But the black folks, now one good thing about your experience in jail, Dan, is that they serve you lemonade. We love lemonade. So we'll take that.
Then quit complaining about it.
Yes, but
you're
we do want
to... Your services, your rights as an American is stripped from you.
But we also do reserve the right to have a supply of grape soda should any African-American desire it.
You guys are going to do nothing more than create a hostility among people by saying, well, because black folks have had it worse, let's start treating them better. Jerk pork, grape soda.
Okay.
And what is this?
If I want Coke, should the jail supply me Coke because I'm white?
No, you're a white man, so you always had it good, see? So why should you get good stuff? Because as a white man, you always have it good. But a black people, no. And so
the only reason why you have a problem is because... Oh, your ancestors, if you would have learned anything in school in history class...
You're a white man, right? You're a white man?
50% of your own kind sold you to the United States of America for slavery.
Now, Dan,
that is not our problem.
Dan,
that is his story.
Dan, you're a white man, so you drink Pepsi.
No, I do not drink Pepsi.
Do. If you are white, you will drink Pepsi. And
who are you to tell me that just because I am white, I drink Pepsi?
Because
who are you to tell me that I drink Pepsi because I am white?
I'm an African-American, and I will soon take over this country.
Then get off your high horse and get back to reality.
Look, Dan, your experience in jail was a cakewalk. All of you whiteys are the wardens love you, okay? But the blacks are constantly without grape soda.
And because
big
you are...
Deal. The white... Oh, my Lord!
I think this is an insult.
I had to buy everything I wanted, and it came on a list. There
were
certain products that I needed that I could not get.
I had
to live with that for 6 months.
I think it's an insult to say that his experience in jail was a cakewalk. Jail is no cakewalk.
You ever been in jail, Mr. Henry?
I spent a night in jail when I was a kid, okay? And just one night in jail was no fun.
All right, did you ever have Pepsi?
I don't drink Pepsi. I drink Coke. What do you think of that?
This is what I'm talking about. Is Dan there? Dan, you are there. I am saying that all white inmates from now on drink Pepsi, and I don't know where he gets off saying that he doesn't.
Because I don't!
Well, you are going to start, because we can get...
We can get a two-for-one deal, grape soda and Pepsi.
Maybe it's different in California, but in the state of Wisconsin, you do not get soda in the county jail. Nobody gets soda in the county jail.
You don't get Pepsi.
We don't get any soda.
Would you be willing to drink Pepsi if the blacks could have grape soda?
What kind of a conversation is this that we're having?
Okay, plain and simple. Why should, when you go to jail, obviously you did something wrong. Obviously somebody did something wrong.
They say that my nephew took a chainsaw to a hooker. I don't believe it.
Well, I don't know what he did, but obviously he did something wrong to go to jail. When you do the crime, you got to do the time whether you like it or not.
What if he's innocent?
What if he's innocent?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
Nipsey.